Who said your Bible is turned to gospel? Me, chapter 20. I'm here to give you verse 8. And I'm going to God and stand. Luke chapter 20, beginning verse 1. One day, as he was teaching the people in the temple and proclaiming the good news, the chief priests and the scribes with the elders came and said to him, "Tell us, by what authority are you doing these things? Who is it who gave you this authority?" And he answered them, "I will ask you, I will also ask you a question. Tell me, was the baptism of John from heaven or of human origin?" They discussed it with themselves. "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Why didn't you believe him?' But if you say human origin, all the people will stone us, because they are convinced that John was the prophet." So they answered, but they didn't know the soldier. And Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority you do these things." When we read a passage, we always need to see the context is there. So let's look at what happened before. Previously, we were looking at Jesus had cleansed the temple. Before that, he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and he was being praised by the people. They were giving glory to God, recognizing him as the Messiah. And in these things, we see a lot of hope. We saw that Jesus had given hope when he talked about the parable of the 10 minas. He gave us hope because it talked about Christ's return and him bringing everything to account, bringing rewards and judgment. He came to Bethany and Bethpage. We have hope because that is the place where Lazarus was raised from the dead, and right before Jesus came into Jerusalem, he was having a banquet with Lazarus. And we understand from the resurrection of Lazarus, we have hope for our resurrection as well. Two disciples were sent ahead of Jesus to get a donkey for Jesus to ride on. We have hope because we know God's plan always come about, and he knows what's going to happen in the future. He entered Jerusalem just like the prophet said the Messiah was, who come riding on a donkey. We have hope because salvation is coming to all. They were praising God as he entered. Reminds us of hope for unity among believers. The Pharisees tried to stop Jesus' disciples from praising him. We have hope knowing that God is being praised regardless of what people try to do. Jesus wept for Jerusalem. Reminds us of the hope we have. God has compassion on our situation. Jesus cleansed the temple, reminding us of the hope that God's going to make everything right, even though many times they don't look like they're right at this moment. And then Jesus taught when he entered the temple, reminding us that he's going to show us everything we need to know to live life pleasing to him and be prepared for the life of God. Now, Jesus has cleansed the temple, and he's teaching in the temple. We can learn a lot from this. Jesus is not depressed because he's about to be executed. He knows that's going to happen. He's not depressed because he knows that he's going to be rejected by the people that just previously had praised the coming of God's Messiah, they're going to turn their shouts or praise God to crucify him. But Jesus was still teaching the people. And it says, proclaiming the good news. That word, for good news, is also translated as gospel. And if we look back at Isaiah, the prophecy in chapter 61, look at what Isaiah says in chapter 1, or chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, and freedom to the prisoner, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of God's vengeance, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, vesture of oil instead of mourning. Jesus is proclaiming the good news that the prophet Isaiah talked about. Freedom from our sin and a healing of the consequences of sin. Romans chapter 1, Paul takes up this message. And look what he says in Romans 1, beginning verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, and set apart from the gospel from the news of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets, the Holy Scripture, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was a descendant of David according to the flesh, and was appointed to be the powerful Son of God by the Holy, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the Gentiles, including you, who are also called by Jesus Christ. And now, verse 16, so chapter 1 of Romans. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, and also to the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, just as written, the righteous will live by faith. And Jesus is in the temple proclaiming the good news, their freedom from the consequences of sin. There's a way to be healed. Your broken relationship with God can be healed because of what the Messiah, what Jesus, what God in the body is going to do. So he's proclaiming this message. But the religious leaders aren't listening to what he's saying. They haven't been listening for the 3 years that he's been proclaiming the message. They didn't listen to John the Baptizer before him. They didn't listen to the prophets. But they come to him and said, tell us by what authority you are doing these things. And who is it that gave you this authority? Now, sometimes I look at the news and see that there's an accident on the interstate in Houston. And they got the lanes blocked off. You might go, who gave them the authority to shut down those lanes? Because, you know, it's slowing my commute down. I want to go on the interstate where I want to go as fast as I want to go. Who gave that guy with the flashing lights on his police car the authority? Well, the government, the local city, the county, and the state, the authority to police officers to block traffic if it's necessary within certain situations. Well, Jesus had just cleansed the temple. Who gave you the authority to change what we were doing, to turn our money-making venture out the door of the temple? Who gave you the authority to kick out the people that were selling animals to kick out the money chain. Who gave you that authority? And where did that authority? If someone is suspected of a crime and the police, they want to go check somebody's house out. Well, they cannot just go check somebody's house out without a search warrant. And a judge has to sign the search warrant. So if someone comes and says, I want to search your house, well, let's do the search warrant with the judge's signature on it. If that's there with the judge's signature, then they have authority. That judge gave them authority to search that location. Well, who gave Jesus the authority to do what he's doing? And what by what authority is he doing it? Is he a police officer? Is he one of the leaders in the temple? Jesus responds, calling attention to their hypocrisy, because they know about what authority is doing. And they say, I'll ask you one question. They say, you answer my question, I'll answer yours. John the Baptizer, did his baptism come from heaven, or is it of human origin? And I can sort of see the religious leaders, they sort of huddle together like players on a football team before they even go, okay, what are we going to do on this play? You know, we got to defend the quarterback, and we're trying to get down there. How are we going to do it? Well, they're huddled together, and they show their hypocrisy when they say, if we say John's baptism was from heaven, then Jesus is going to say, then why didn't you believe him? If we say it's of human origin, then the people will stone us. And we don't want to be stoned. It's not like stoned in the 60s, where, like that, remember the old Cheech and Chong movies. They, at that time, were doing movies based on smoking a lot of marijuana. And they were stoned a lot. But that's not the kind of stone it's talking about. This kind of stone is taking a literal rock and throwing it at you until you die. So they did not want to be stone physically with rocks. They said, people will do that because they believe that John is a prophet. Jesus says, the people believe that John was a prophet. Religious leaders did. Even though John was pointing out the way of God, John was recognized as the forerunner of the Messiah, they didn't believe him because John criticized religious leaders and told them they needed to repent also. So the religious leaders come back to Jesus and said, we don't know. They knew. And Jesus responds, well, I'm not going to tell you either. His response indicated he knew, they knew the truth, but they were refusing to acknowledge the truth. There are a lot of people that refuse to acknowledge the truth, that there is a God. There is a standard by which God judges the world. We are all guilty. We have all broken God's standard. And we all deserve the punishment of God. But Jesus, God himself, came to the body of man for us to have, by the grace of God, access to heaven, which is within, not because of any good thing we do, but because of God's love for us. There was a movie many years ago. Ben Stein did a movie called Expelled. in his movie Expelled, he talks about how important to acknowledge that there is a creator within the scientific field and academia who are getting fired from their jobs. And he interviewed one of the leading atheists, a man that says there is no God and people are delusional to believe in God. And he's interviewing him. He's talking about all the intricacies of the design in our planet and the solar system. And the individual replies, well, there could be design there, but it couldn't be from God. It had to be from space aliens. And so the voiceover inside that brown tone was not going to be able to believe in the creative design. He just refuses to acknowledge behavior. This man, I don't know if he's still alive, will one day acknowledge that there's a creator, but he's going to stand before that God. Every individual will face a time before God, and the only hope we have is, as Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Far be ashamed of the gospel. Because it's the only thing that can save us from all eternity, from the judgment we pronounce on us, due to us because of our sin. We are all still on the shore of the earth. We share the good news of the kingdom. Dear Lord, I thank you that you came to your creation to provide a way for our sins to be forgiven. And you proved the power to forgive our sins by rising from the dead. And you are coming back to take us to be with you forever. Let us not be ashamed of the good news. Let us live a life based on the good news and share it with us. In Jesus' name.